This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It truly is the most wonderful time of the year, done correctly. And one thing, if you haven't ever done it, one thing that would be very correct to do would be to go check out this show that's coming to the Peace Center in a couple of weekends. Joining me now to discuss this from the International Ballet is Sarah Shoemaker. Good afternoon.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
I'm good. You know, one thing I haven't asked you is, who are the principal dancers this year?
We have two fabulous stars coming in for Nutcracker Weekend, which is going to be December 5th through 7th. The female principal dancer is named Ekaterina Nechayeva, and she actually is a Greenville girl. I know her name does not sound like a Greenville name. She is Russian by heritage, but she is from Greenville. She trained with her mother, who teaches at the Governor's School for the Arts and also at International Ballet. Her mother is Irina Ushakova, and Katya trained here, and then she ended up going to Russia to finish her training in high school and is in dancing in the Ballet Theater of Napoli in Italy now. But she is coming home to dance with us, and her partner is a man named Rafael Canadit, and he is a principal dancer with the Cincinnati Ballet. He is Cuban-born, and he was our principal guest male for our recent production of Don Quixote that we did at the Peace Center last May.
Right. I saw that one.
Yep.
I saw that.
So he's a star. She's absolutely gorgeous. And so they're actually literally rehearsing right this minute as we're speaking in Cincinnati. She flew up there yesterday to do a couple days of rehearsal with him. And then they'll get back started here with us next week.
I went to high school with many people with Russian names.
Oh,
so
interesting.
I did not.
I fell for it. I'm so gullible, Bill. Oh my God.
No. So this year, let's see. Anything notable we're going to be talking about? I actually interviewed one of the actual Greenville Symphony members last week at Upstate War Solutions. We were talking about the presentation they're going to do. And I mean, that's another thing. Live music. Now, how many schools or companies the size of International Ballet actually command a live symphony to be a part of their show?
Very few. We're super fortunate. I think Greenville is fortunate in general in the arts. We have so much talent and so much generosity, and that's really the secret sauce of any great arts organization, is the coming together of great talent with people who will pay money for a ticket and people who, in some cases, will sponsor an event. And we do have some sponsors. In fact, one of our show sponsors is it's a couple named Greta and Graham Somerville, and they have been sponsoring the guest artist, the professional guest artist, for many years. I think probably 10 years now. They pay for them to be here. So
right.
We are all grateful. I mean, that's just the amazing thing, is the people who appreciate the arts and have the funds to be able to help the community have it. That's what happens. And so, yeah, there's not a lot of smaller ballet organizations that can afford to bring in, you know, not only this quality of dancers, but the Greenville Symphony Orchestra. You know, these players are incredible. And the symphony, I mean, holy cow, the Greenville Symphony is incredible. So we're lucky. We also, I will say, we have the Greenville Youth Chorale in our show as well, which I love, because it feels like everything is kind of coming together. We have the Children of International Ballet, we have the Greenville Symphony Orchestra, and then we have this angelic youth choir in the snow scene. These kids they have beautiful voices, and they look forward to it, you know, just as much as the cast.
It was only 2 years ago that I realized that was live.
Yeah.
Because I'm always watching this. I'm always watching the stage, and I'm like, wow, that's some really good piped in music. But that's actually a bunch of kids. I got to sit behind them
the last
couple of times, so I got to see them actually stand up and do the singing. So.
Yeah, I mean, we do put a little bit of light on the boxes. They're in the upper boxes, and you can see them if you happen to glance that way. But, yeah, a lot of people are obviously looking at the stage, but we do put a little light on them. We want them to be seen.
It's been working pretty good because I didn't know they were there for a long time, a very long time. Now, so we got a Russian male principal dancer. Now, I did not know he was... Cuban. I'm sorry. We got a Cuban. Yeah. We got a Cuban. Now, I base all the Cuban males off of Dimitro. So
yes, Tyrone Dimitro. I know he's your favorite, and he's amazing. I love Rafael Kennedy personally. I'm partial to him. I mean, again, no shade at Taras. There's no one. I mean, Taras is like Baryshnikov. Rafael is just. I mean, he's gorgeous. Here's the thing. I got to see him in rehearsal for Don Quixote in the studio, and dancers, when you know, they do great things on the stage, but in the rehearsal it's like they're more free, they can take more risks because there's no pressure. And
right.
I saw him doing things in the studio that I was just like, I mean, what in the world? It's just incredible. They train to do this, and so when you see them at their peak, it's very exciting. And he's incredible. He's beautiful too. Oh, and he's a brand new father.
Oh yeah,
he just his partner, Melissa Gelfin just had a baby about 10 days ago, so he's probably tired. I shouldn't say that because we don't want to make it sound like a tired dad is coming. But he'll have a little break from the sleepless nights to come.
Yeah, I guess he will. Yeah, the thing about the Cubans though is they're so explosive.
Yeah,
they're so explosive. I mean, they're doing things that you see real high level athletes do, but at the same time they can stop that on a dime.
Mm-hmm.
They could be jumping and spinning and going forward, and they can land and just stop on a dime. It is one of the best, one of the most. There's got to be a lot of fast twitch muscles working on that one
for sure. And it's kind of, to be honest, it's a little bit their calling card. I mean, the Cuban guys, and the females, actually, the Cuban female ballet dancers are also explosive, and it's in their training, it's in their culture, in their training, and so it is a calling card for them, and it's very exciting when we get to see it here in Greenville.
Now, the fact that you guys continue to attract, and it has something to do, I'm sure, with the sponsors, but the availability of this world class talent has to do with things in the past, doesn't it? The fact that you have always attracted world class talent. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that Lena Forrester, who is my predecessor in my job at IB, she just firmly believed that when people experience the greatest talent, that they will come back. So her philosophy was, let's not do this and just go halfway. If we're going to do ballet in Greenville, let's make it as good as we can possibly make it. Bring in the best stars. And people will appreciate it. And I think that's why our shows do so well. I mean, we do sell out the Nutcracker. So if you haven't gotten your tickets and you want to come, you should come go buy them today because they are going very quickly
now.
But yeah, so it's like, I think her theory is accurate. I think when you do your very best to show greatness to anybody. I mean, that's the exciting thing about live art. And I will say this, I go to a lot of live shows, different types. I go to plays, I go to music events, obviously dance. But I just always come away feeling like it makes you feel better about the world. It makes you feel better about people. There's something about experiencing someone at the peak of their craft.
And their power.
Balm for the soul is what I call it. Balm for the soul.
yep. And this is all the 5th and the 6th. I'll be going to the Saturday night show because that's when I like to go. But if you've never seen one of these, this is a great way to kick off the season. And I always get a kick out of it just watching the sheer expertise of these people, because this is truly one of these things where, if you're not aware of it, this is world talent of the type that you see at the Olympics or on TV or in movies. These people that they bring, these young people, are like Sarah says, at the top of their game. So I guess I'll see you there.
See you there. And also, before I hang up with you, I just have to say, and a shout out to our local kids too. And we bring in world-class talent, but I will say that our homegrown talent that are training right here at IB are, oh, yeah, we have some incredible dancers coming up.
Oh, yeah.
So it's very exciting,
oh, yeah,
for all of us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sarah's even shipped her son, who started there, is in New York learning how to be the next Gudinov.
That's the goal.
There you go. Thank you for joining me today, ma'am.
Thank you, Bill. It's great to talk to you.
Yes, ma'am. Coming up next, I'm going to be going to that. When was the last time you actually went to the movie theater? This is News Talk, 98.9 WORD.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
When was the last time you watched a movie in an actual movie theater? Because I know that's a weird question, because everybody sort of thinks everybody goes to the movies, but that's not the case. I got a VCR as soon as I could afford one. And then I was off to the races, and it wasn't until we got back to the United States after my time in service that I actually started taking the boys to movies in the theater to experience that. But back then, like when Aliens came out, the Alien movie number 2, on VCR to buy it, you had to order it special. I was in Germany. It was $96 in 1986. I really liked going to the movie theater. For those of you that have been here long enough, there used to be this drive-in in Taylor's where, I don't know, I think there's a steakhouse now there. And there was a bridge, and we could go under that bridge on foot and walk into the drive-in theater. And then we get one of those speakers that was on the stand and set it up close to us, and then we'd watch the movie from afar, sitting in the shadows. Probably what took movies going to the theater. That's probably what took it all out anyway. But I stopped going to the movies for the same reason that I stopped watching TV, which was the internet. One of the reasons I don't watch TV is because of blogs and articles and all the news websites. I don't need TV to get news. But movies were still profiting at the box office in the 2010s, hitting their peak in 2018. Now, of course, the internet, YouTube, and the streaming services were growing. That did not necessarily mean the movie business or the box office hustle were headed for oblivion. Social media actually jacked it. Yet, today, the movie theater is in decline. Why? Why is that that way? According to Max Martini, who's a guy that I know that produces movies and stars in them, he's been in a couple of Arnold Schwarzenegger films, he says the whole movie business has completely died. And when I asked him why he said that, he said they all suck. You're not missing anything by not going to the movies. They burned down Pacific Palisades, and then the movie industry stopped making anything but propaganda movies. It's a mess. He also says, the celebrities are completely irrelevant now. They don't sell a movie at all now. No one cares about any of them. Many are taking very low-paid movies because they give high overhead in terms of lifestyle, like health insurance, and many are not making any movies now. Pretty interesting times. Which begs the question, has the tech revolution finally gutted the industry for good? Now, one thing that I find very interesting is that if you go back and look at TV and movies over the course of time, 50s and 60s, you would find films that probably seem more real in their depiction. One of my favorite movies is Bullet with Steve McQueen, but then again, I just like Steve McQueen. But in one part of it where he goes into a corner store as he's headed to his apartment and buys like 27 TV dinners. Even though he's dating Jacqueline Bisset, and they do go to nice restaurants with nice jazz music in it and everything else. But anyway, you see my point. Now, the problem here is that the quality of the current movie fare, because of politics and ID politics and wokeness, is now garbage. The box office had their worst October sales in 30 years in 2025. And they keep having strikes and health scare setbacks, and the quality of the movies has gone down considerably. They also love absolutely the sequel. Now, the Top Gun 35th anniversary did very well, but, you know, that's because Tom Cruise actually makes movies, despite his Scientology and everything else. This is a guy that knows how to make a movie. And they've become risk-averse, right? Movie making is much more expensive, although it doesn't have to. I have a camera downstairs that will do everything that a $100,000 camera would do back in the 60s and the 70s. It'll do it all. But actors demand more money for the same work they did 10 or 20 years ago. And a movie ticket is around $16, with some even charging more. And that's before the popcorn and the large soda. Then there's the leftism that's in it. We would put up with the leftism because we wanted to see their great storytelling, and they learned to keep their politics to themselves for the most part. And today, they're all in it, like De Niro and his repeated cranky attacks on Trump. Robert De Niro unquestionably would be considered one of the greatest actors, if not the greatest actor, of his generation. And now all anybody can think about is how miserable and leftist woke he is. They insist on having an opinion, and they insist on making sure that you know it. And then the movies themselves insist on shoving their propaganda down in our faces, right? Like all those LGBT themes in recent Disney flops. And we're paying for it by not going. We're showing our disinterest in it. It's also easier to get movies via Netflix and Disney Plus and other streaming sources. And believe me, dear God, if you were to watch some of the series on Netflix, if there's any political correctness in it, I can't see it. I like one series called Altered Carbon, the first season of Altered Carbon. If you want to see a movie where they're not, you know, you're not going to be sitting back going, oh, this is fully politically correct. Freddie doesn't know what he's talking about. You're going to come away thinking I'm weird. But that's okay. Ricky Gervais said it the best. He said, no one cares about movies anymore. No one goes to the cinema. So, this is why I advocate going to things like the International Ballet. Because it's good to exist in the real world. Because what you're going to see in front of you is real. It's actually happening in real time. There's no filters, right? None of that stuff. Coming up next is going to be my niece, Morgan Norris, because we're getting close to Santa Day with the children being treated for cancer as she gathers those toys for them. This is News Talk, 98.9 WORD.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Got a call back during the fall asking if I would let her do this. And I said, of course, yes, I will. So joining me once again is my niece, Morgan Norris, because she's collecting toys for children that are going through cancer treatment right now. Are you off early today?
I'm off. Yeah, I'm off early today.
Okay.
I got to go teach dance this afternoon, so I get off early on Mondays.
So now you have a box at Dewey's, a toy box at Dewey's. Are you going to one of the locations, the dance school that has a box too?
Yes, I'm going to the dance studio that has a box as well, Legacy Dance Company, that's off of New Neely Ferry Road.
Is that the one where I came and gave you the record player? Is that the one you're talking about?
Yes. Yes,
okay,
that one.
Okay. Okay, so, I mean, so how's it going? How's it looking so far? What's the collection
looking like? It's looking really good. My box at Dewey's is pretty much full. The box at the dance studio is pretty much full. And I know my awesome church, St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, their box is full too. So we're doing a great job.
Now, if somebody comes, and I know you take them, you do take monetary donations to buy toys for those that want to give but they don't have the time to go actually buy the toys.
Definitely, yes, I do.
Is the best place for that to come to Dewey's and catch you there?
Yes, the best place to get me is at Dewey's probably, because I'm there pretty much every day except Tuesdays.
And off early on Mondays.
Off early on Mondays and off early on Wednesdays too.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
those are the days that I go teach.
Now, have you been able to tell a difference getting the word out this way than normally, or is it about the same way it normally would be?
I definitely can tell a difference because, you know, people don't really know about the toy drive that I do unless they are members of my church or if they're, you know, students that I teach at the dance studio. So I definitely have noticed a difference with people who hear about it on the radio and they come to Dewey's and they want to donate.
Do you ever go back to where you were treated from time to time just to see any kids there? Do you do any sort of visitation or counseling or any of that kind of stuff?
Well, I go once a year for a checkup with the cancer unit. And I used to be able to go and visit a lot more. Then I would go up to my old unit that I would actually get treated at and see the nurses that I would see there and everything, but ever since COVID, they don't really let a whole lot of people up in those areas anymore to visit. You have to either be admitted or have family members that are admitted to go into those areas anymore.
So when you were 10,
but
you
I
were
tried.
Yeah, yeah. When you were 10 and you were being treated, what was the youngest patient you ever saw being treated in that unit?
There was actually a baby when I was there getting treated who was born with cancer.
Born?
Born.
How does that happen?
I don't know. I really like that childhood cancer has no rhyme or reason. There's no reason why some kids get cancer. Sometimes your body just creates the tumors and creates the cancer and your immune system can't keep up with it to fight it off.
Now, what was interesting in your case is that, you know, with your mom's family, my family, we don't have any incidents of that I am aware of. And I'm not aware of your dad's family having any incidences of that as well. So it just hits you when they when they were looking at this, did they say anything about this? Did they say, this is sort of odd that you don't have this history or anything? Or is this one of the odd sections of what makes childhood cancer so difficult to deal with?
Yeah, I think that's a big reason what makes childhood cancer so hard to deal with, because a lot of times it's not sometimes there are genetic cancers, as you know, there are genetic cancers, and that is a reason why certain kids or people get cancer. But a lot of times with childhood cancer, there's no reason, there's no genetic link. It's just your body created that cancer cell, and your immune system was compromised at the moment to where it couldn't fight it off, and then it just grew and grew and grew, and you get more and more tumors, and next thing you know, you're in the hospital getting treated, and that's pretty common with childhood cancer. There's not really a rhyme or reason, or, you know, you did this, so that caused this. Like, you know, when there's lung cancer, if you smoke, you get lung cancer, or vice versa, or whatever. But Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I think it makes it hard, because you never understand the why. Why did I get this, you know?
Well, I mean, your big sister Megan.
Mm-hmm.
Always healthy. She was an athlete, then she became a scholar. She's still healthy as far as I know. I mean, if anything's going on with her, I don't know about it. And you, with the exception of that, have always been healthy as a horse as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was a very lively kid, healthy kid before I got cancer. And even afterwards, when I beat it, I've never had any health problems since then. I've been very fortunate.
How old were you when you started dance?
I started dance pretty much when I was born as well, too. You know, as you know, my mom used to own a dance studio, and
I do know that.
Yeah, and she told me that 2 weeks after I was born, I was in a dance class in a baby carrier, and ever since then, I've been in a dance class. My first recital, I was 1.5 dancing on stage, so I've been dancing
since you could walk,
before I could even remember. Yeah, literally.
Yeah. Yes, I remember that time very well. You don't remember it, but you know, occasionally I would hold you in the waiting room while me and you and Megan would be sitting around just doing nothing in particular.
Yes.
But those were the days, weren't they?
Yes. Yes, they were. Back when I could rule the dance studio.
Now, do you offer to, are there any of these children that you try to give toys to or anything? Do they, any of them come to you and say, I want to start dancing? Do you get with any of that?
No, but actually this past fall, I had a little girl come and do a trial class with me, and we connected over the fact that she's a childhood cancer survivor too, and I was like, I'm a childhood cancer survivor. So sometimes I do meet kids out in the wild that have gone through cancer, and we've been treated at the same hospital and had the same doctors, and that's really such a special moment for me to be, you know, somebody who's like, look, I beat it, and I grew up, and look what I'm doing now, like, you can do that too. So that's a very special aspect of my job when I do get to run into those kids.
So with that, do you remember any times when you were going through the treatment that you ever got down or anything, or were you pretty much upbeat the whole time? Because you looked upbeat the whole time.
There was definitely times where it was hard and I was down, I was sad. The day I was diagnosed, I remember being very, very sad, and I was never scared of the cancer. I was scared of the needle pokes. That was what I was scared of. I was like, oh, no, I'm going to have to get IVs and shots. I was not worried about the cancer at all. My priorities were mixed up. But a lot of times, me and my family, we sat in our faith a lot, and it was more of like, there's nothing we can do other than stay strong and give it to God. So a lot of it was trying to remain a kid as much as possible and keeping our lives as normal as possible too. And I think that made a big difference when it was time for me to go into remission and go back to everyday life, you know?
Yeah, well. So this all ends on the 8th, the last day that you're going to take. Donations are going to be the 8th of December.
Mm-hmm. Yes, last day will be December 8th, and I'll be taking them on December 9th.
And if you have a monetary donation you'd rather make, Morgan works at the jewelry counter right next to the Volkswagen-sized bear at Dewey's.
Mm-hmm.
And she's there from open to close most days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Are you working there Saturday, too?
Yeah, I work there Saturday, yep.
Plenty of time to go see her and give her some money, or take a toy to it and make the box overflow. And
don't worry about
her picking it up, because there's a bunch of guys there that will pick it up for her. She don't have to pick it up.
Oh, yeah, they got it for me.
Yeah, I understand. All right. Well, listen, I guess we'll do this one more time, and then we are going to see what we get at the end of that. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, ma'am. Morgan Norris, my niece, collecting toys for children that are suffering through cancer. Now, I just saw this pop up. Somebody's already texted me about this. They've dismissed Comey and James. Let's see why. This is News Talk 98.9 WORD. Is that the same one? Okay, let's go to the phones. Let's go to John from Spartanburg. Yes, sir.
Hey, Bill. How you doing?
Yes, sir.
Hey, I found out when Marjorie Taylor Greene won and she went in 21, she was worth $700,000. Now she's worth $25 million.
Okay.
How does somebody make that kind of money in that short of time?
I mean, you know the answer to that, don't you?
Oh, yeah. That's crazy.
John, man. Your mic's open. You know
the answer
to that one.
That's right. You have a good day, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Bye.
Let's go to Michelle from Union. Yes, ma'am.
Hello, Mr. Fraley. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this scandal on the Epstein files. Are they just trying to distract us from all these crazy things they're trying to do with the government of, like, take away people's freedoms, you know, to demonstrate and all the stuff that, and blaming everything that goes wrong on Mr. Trump?
Well, who's taking away their right to demonstrate? Who are you talking about?
I mean, I don't mean like demonstrate. They're just, are they like trying to take away the freedoms of everybody's?
They want to take away every freedom you've got. Okay, yeah. Every freedom, not just that one. I mean, that's just one of them. That's a side hustle for them. They want to take all your money. They want to take and make it to where you can't defend yourself. They want to take and make it to where you can't buy what you want when you want. You can't live where you want. They want you to be eating bugs and have a heat pump that freezes in the winter and all that other fun stuff. They want all of that. That's what they want. That's their goal. And yes, I believe that the Epstein thing is a distraction. I do believe that there is a time and place to go after that at some point. First, you do the real work, and then you go back when you've completed the real work, and you have the luxury of your leisure to go look at the other things that need to take a second look at.
Yeah, my friend and I were talking about this. I mean, all we do is talk about this hypocritical stuff that somebody else does, and they don't say, hey, I'm over here doing, you know, this and trying to steal things from poor people and stuff, you know? It's just stupid.
Well, I mean, if government actually did their real job, it'd be very boring. Nobody would be popular, and we'd be like, we wouldn't even know who's in Congress if they did their job the right way. We only know it because they don't. Anyway.
Yeah, I know. They're just a bunch of hypocrites is what we were saying. That's all.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for the call.
I appreciate you for talking to me, Mr. Brady. Have a nice day.
Thank you. Well, a federal judge has thrown out the indictments against James Comey and Letitia James, and probably rightfully so, because they put, what's this girl's name? Something Halligan. I don't remember her first name. She was never confirmed to do the role, and the judge has found that she was not confirmed to do the role. So, these charges have been dismissed without prejudice, which means they can bring them up again with a different one. Now, my only I've got two questions here. Was Halligan not valid? Well, she was actually serving as an interim. If she was not valid, was that because the Democrats have been holding up the confirmation process? And item number two, now that Bondi has fumbled this, what is she going to do to regroup? Because anybody that's sitting, I got a texter going, are you still eating your popcorn? Yeah, I still am. Because this is not a setback. Did you think they were just going to roll in there and, all right, you guys are under arrest. You did this and now you're going to pay. They're going to fight all the way to the last moment, the last breath. They're going to try everything out there they can possibly put together. Absolutely, they are. And what we need to be doing on this side, on the MAGA America First side, is we need to be saying, okay, well, that was an unforced error. Let's not make that mistake again. Learn from our mistakes. Mistakes, hey, listen. If you're not messing something up, you're not doing nothing. So, of course, Now they're coming after Trump, and they're coming after Lindsey Halligan, and they're going to come after Pam Bondi. And the judge was actually a Clinton appointee based out here in South Carolina, brought in from out of state, presided over the proceedings about the question of Halligan's authority because it presented a conflict for the Virginia judges. Comey's and James's challenges to Halligan's appointment were consolidated because of their similarity. So, okay. This was an unforced error, and I'm not surprised that they got thrown out. I also heard that they, like in the case of Comey, the grand jury never saw the actual, because of Halligan, they never saw the actual indictment. They never saw the revised one. The entire grand jury did not see that. So a lot of mistakes going on there. A lot of mistakes going on there. And, you know, sort of Bush League, if you ask me. Sort of Bush League. But anyway, when we get back, I've always been, you know, I do podcasts, you know, multiples. And how do you take a podcast, begin a podcast, and turn it into something? First of all, it becomes relevant, and then it begins to accelerate. And I'm going to find that out by asking my friend Keith Taylor from the Freedom's Fence Line podcast, the Get to Steppin' podcast, how he did it. This is News Talk 98.9 WORD.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.